Hey guys, so glad you're here this morning. Welcome to a beautiful summer in Southern California. God is still on his throne this morning, and he's not worried. God is not in heaven afraid. He's God. So we're going to be thinking in this text this morning. This is Galatians chapter 1, verses 11 through 18. The Apostle Paul writes these words long after his meeting with Jesus, as he writes to the church in Galatia. He says to them and to us, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." That's something to meditate on, right? "For you've heard of my previous way of life in Judaism, how intensely I persecuted the church of God and tried to destroy it. I was advancing in Judaism beyond many of my own age among my people and was extremely zealous for the traditions of my fathers. But when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son in me so that I might preach among the Gentiles. So my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and then later returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to get acquainted with Peter or Cephas. And I stayed with him 15 days. Wow, that's a mouthful. So Father, we thank you for this morning. Lord, we thank you, God, for the incredible transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ that transforms our hearts and lives. Lord, we're just so grateful for our brother Greg, Lori, and what happened at Harvest Crusade last night. Grateful, Lord, for many people accepting Jesus the Christ and people's lives being for eternally changed and transformed. We thank you, God, that you are still at work in the 21st century, that your eyes still move to and fro throughout the earth, that you might strongly support those whose hearts are totally yours. And Lord, your eyes are upon us this morning, and you see us. And God, you just don't see us externally, but you see right through us. You know us. Lord, we want to sit at your feet this morning. We pray that you would open our eyes and that you would touch our ears. We might see Jesus and hear Jesus. We are humble. We know you're here. God, speak to us now, we pray, and we ask this in Jesus' mighty name. And all those who love Jesus would say what?
Amen.
Amen. And good morning to you. So last weekend, I was with our college career group up in Big Bear, where I grew up. So I was kind of I got to chauffeur them around and up in the mountains where I grew up. How many people have been up to Big Bear? Just raise your hand. You all been there, right? It's beautiful up there. It's gorgeous, man. 7,000 feet up, a few of us, the oxygen's a little thin up there. We went for a walk. A lot of us were sucking air. A few of us got nosebleeds. It's, you know, it's dry up there. But man, it was so beautiful to just see we actually got a little rain and a thunderstorm that happens in Big Bear. It's beautiful. Oh man, the pine trees. So it's so fun to be there and just to get to take these amazing group of people at this church in our college career group up to the mountains where we got to hang out with Jesus. We didn't turn on the TV. We didn't listen to, you know, we're on this retreat just hanging out with Jesus. But my phone started vibrating on Saturday night. What is going on? And it vibrate. And I finally am looking, and it's like our 45th president was shot last, right? And I'm like, what? And I looked real quick. I saw that he wasn't killed. And oh my God, so hey man, I just didn't want to think about it. I just put it away and said, let's just keep worshiping Jesus and come back down the mountain. My brothers and sisters, our country dodged a bullet last week. It would be really hard to think if last week we had to do a memorial service for our 45th president and the emotions in this country are so high to think that we're on the verge of potentially going from debating political issues to assassinating political figures. You know, I was reading back in the Civil War, right before the Civil War, senators were beating each other in Congress with canes. They were warring politically before the whole thing blew up back in the Civil War days. I'm so grateful that he dodged a bullet. And I'm so sad about those that were shot. I think our country dodged a bullet. I'm just praying that we just tone it way down. Amen? Yeah. Boy, so I've been saying this all year. In 2024, these are great days to be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might, that you might put on the full armor of God, that you might be able to stand in the evil day, because there are crazy days upon us. Be strong and courageous. Do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. These are the days, as Jesus says, he who hears these words and acts upon them is like a wise man who builds his house upon the rock. For when the storms of life come, that house will stand, because this individual's life has been built upon the teachings and the persons of Jesus. These are the days for you to draw near to the Lord. And I got it, dude, the world needs you like never before. People of light, people of truth, people of reason, people of sound thinking, people of love, peacemakers. Blessed are the peacemakers, Jesus says, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The world needs the followers of Jesus like never before. We need to bring the transforming power of Christ to a lost and dying world. The power of Jesus that transforms people from the inside out. Our world needs Christ. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
See, if you ever want to take a hard look at the transforming power of Jesus, you can look no further than the life of the Apostle Paul or Saul of Tarsus, who in his time before meeting Jesus, he was a violent, violent man, blood on his hands. He was, I call him a religious zealot, a religious terrorist, who Paul was applauding bloodshed and death to happen upon anyone who would call upon the name of Jesus. And we can see this example in our own world when you look at what happened on October 7th, when a group of people would go and kill people in the name of God and actually applaud it. And I mean, if you ever listen, like some of these Hamas terrorists that killed people, they said, and these are interviews of those that was captured, that they used their cell phones calling their parents saying, "I killed 5 Jews so far." Like they were so excited that they're killing people. Like listening to a kid kicking goals in a soccer game. They're all applauding this mentality that I'm going to kill people in the name of God, and this is a good thing. This was Saul of Tarsus. This is who he was. And then he became the apostle of grace and love. You read his teachings about love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, love does not boast, love believes all things, hopes all things. These beautiful teachings of Paul as this man was transformed. Do you guys believe in the transforming power of the Lord Jesus Christ? Look at you and look at me. Paul called himself the worst of all sinners. He probably was, man. He says, man, I was a person that murdered Christians. The world needs you. God is in the business of transforming lives. That's why Jesus came. And we work for him, right? He's our king. He's awesome. Paul says this, by the way. Let me just, here's some, here, this is his own testimony. This is Acts 22:4. He says, I persecuted this way to the death. Why did the early Christians was called the way? Because we believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Do you believe that? No one comes to the Father but through him. I persecuted this way to death, binding and putting both men and women into prison. This is who I was. And this is a telling verse as he gave his testimony in Caesarea years later in Acts 26, 10 and 11. And this is just what I did in Jerusalem, Paul says. Not only did I lock up many of the saints in prison, having received authority from the chief priests, but also I went, but also when they were being put to death, I cast my vote against him. Do you see that? This is who he was. And as I punished them, often in all the synagogues, I tried to force them to blaspheme. I was furiously enraged at believers in Jesus, pursuing them to foreign cities. I used terror to try and stop Jesus. And then I became one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived. He doesn't say that, but he probably was. He wrote half the New Testament. He wrote some of the most beautiful teachings. And you know what's so crazy? This guy, God grabbed, and he now uses him. And because of him, God has influenced your life because of this religious terrorist transformed. Many of the teachings of Paul have probably radically transformed your life and mine through the power of the Holy Spirit. Isn't God just rad? Don't you think God's going, I'm going to smack him and make him and God's glorified. This is who he is. So what's Saul or Paul's story? He's on the road to Damascus. He's persecuted and really ravaged the church in Jerusalem, and now I'm going to Damascus. I'm going to Syria. And I've got letters of authority from the chief priests. He's going with a posse. And if there's any Christians in Damascus, I'm coming for them. But on the way, he gets hit. It's like Jesus just knocks him off his horse. And he says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? Paul's blinded for 3 days. They guide him into Damascus, and he sits there and doesn't eat or drink for 3 days. He's silent. And finally, a brother in Christ goes and prays over him. He receives his sight back. He's baptized. And Paul, who is at once persecuting Jesus, immediately begins proclaiming Jesus. Pretty cool story, right? Now, if you read the book of Acts, it looks like Paul, from immediately this radical experience happening in Damascus, that shortly after, he goes back to Jerusalem. But when you read in his epistle, that's not what happened. Let me read Acts 9:19 through 22. It says, and after taking some food, so this is right after he's had his come to Jesus moment. Have you guys had your come to Jesus moment? Because this is his. After taking some food, he regained his strength. Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. At once he began preaching in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. Can you imagine that? And all those who heard him were astonished, right? Yeah, no kidding. And asked, isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests? Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffling the Jews living in Damascus. And immediately he begins proving Jesus is the Messiah. So this guy's had radical life change. Pretty awesome. But check this out. Paul writes later in an epistle to the church in Galatia. He says, and he says, man, between accepting Jesus and meeting with the apostles in Jerusalem, he took a vacation. Galatians 1, 15 through 18, he says, but when God, who set me apart from my mother's womb and called me by his grace, was pleased to reveal his Son to me so that I might preach him among the Gentiles, my immediate response was not to consult any human being. I did not go up to Jerusalem to see those who were apostles before I was, but I went into Arabia And then later I returned to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to hang out with Peter. He meets Jesus. He takes 3 years off. And then he goes up to Jerusalem, okay? There is so much scholarly speculation. So what do you think? What does Saul of Tarsus do for 3 years in Arabia? He just goes into isolation. He just goes to the far side of the moon where nobody can see him, right? I mean, not literally, but he just leaves the world and he goes off to Arabia into the desert for 3 years. Why? Why? There is so much scholarly speculation on what did Saul of Tarsus or Paul do during these 3 years. Some speculate that Paul went to Mount Horeb where Elijah went. You know, remember Elijah in 1 Kings 18 where he goes and sits, it's called the Mountain of God. Some also believe that's where Moses had received the Ten Commandments. Many think that Paul went to the Mountain of God, right? To hear the still small voice of God. That's pretty cool. 3 years. Why? Why 3 years? How many years did Jesus spend with his disciples?
3 years.
3 years. They think, well, as Jesus was teaching Peter and James and John, Jesus spent 3 years teaching Paul. That's cool. That's good. Speculation for the most part. But people, we know from Galatians chapter 1 that he takes a time out on life and he had to spend time rethinking what he thought. Rethinking what he thought. He had to spend time rethinking what he thought. He needed to get a handle on what happened to him on the road to Damascus and understanding his whole life and who is this Jesus. He had to rethink his theology, his understanding about God and all that surrounds God. And now listen, this is so cool. Galatians 1, 11 and 12. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not from human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Check this out. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. So this happens between his conversion and his time going up to Jerusalem. He spends time getting revelations from Jesus Christ. During this time, Jesus teaches Paul, or shall we say, he reteaches Paul the things of God. Is that amazing? Just think about that. So what do you think Jesus wanted Paul to rethink, right? So hey, here's a really cool picture. This is a picture of a guy named Rembrandt. He made this picture in the 1600s. It's a famous painting by a Dutch painter, Rembrandt, and it's a picture of Paul thinking. That is so good, because Paul did a lot of this. He did a lot of this, especially after his road to Damascus experience. Do you see him? There's a guy who has to rethink his life. And he has to rethink everything he thought was true. Because he found out that everything he thought was true isn't true. He missed it. He spent a lot of time rethinking. So this morning we're going to talk about some of the things that he rethought. And so I want you to take notes of me this morning. And here's note number one. What did Paul rethink during his three-year time in the desert? Number one, he had to rethink the scriptures. He had to rethink the scriptures, right? See, Paul built his life upon the scriptures and the God of the scriptures. Do you? Have you built your life upon the scriptures and the God of the scriptures? Paul built his life upon the scriptures. Paul was a Pharisee. He memorized the Old Testament, all of it. The guy had a phonogenetic memory. He was brilliant. We talked about him in past messages. You can check that out. He memorized the scriptures, and yet the scripture speaks of a Messiah, and he completely missed the Messiah. This thing was were warning him, telling him of Jesus, and though he had it memorized, he missed it. He had to completely rethink what he thought. This thing that he thought was familiar, I know this really well, I memorized it, became unfamiliar. I need to relearn this. I thought I knew it. I don't know it. He spent time rethinking the scriptures. Maybe this isn't about Moses. Maybe this isn't about Joseph or David. But maybe this book, this Old Testament, is about Jesus. The hundreds of prophecies of Jesus. And he begins putting it all together, right? So here's a beautiful verse. Jesus in his ministry is up in Jerusalem. And he's speaking to all of Paul's people. And Jesus says this in John 5, 39 through 40. Jesus says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. And these are the very scriptures that testify about me. And yet you refuse to come to me to have life. Wow. Jesus says, you people memorized it, but it talks about me and you're missing me. Totally Paul. Totally Paul. He studied it, he understood it, and he totally missed Jesus. And now he's doing a Rembrandt. He's rethinking. How did I miss this? Okay, I got Isaiah 53. I get some of it. He had to rethink the scriptures. He had to rethink. Have you spent time in your life getting a handle on this book? Have you thought through this book? Do you know that your life depends on you studying this book? Paul later on says, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Have you spent time thinking this through? Jesus says that this bears witness of me. The scriptures give testimony to me. Have you in your journey spent time with this book? Do you know that your eternal life depends on this book? A lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. This is what he did in the desert. He had to rethink the scriptures. Take this one down. This one's a good one. This is pretty logical. So note number two, what did Paul rethink during his 3 years in the desert? He had to rethink Jesus, right? He had to rethink Jesus. He thought Jesus was a liar. He thought Jesus was a deceiver. He thought Jesus was some kind of a madman. But on the road to Damascus, he found out that he was the Lord. Paul had to rethink Jesus. It's a really cool book that we have out there. Now, I don't know if you ever read More Than a Carpenter, a guy named Josh McDowell. Have you ever heard of Josh McDowell? His son, Sean, is a great professor at Biola, my alma mater. Josh McDowell was an atheist who tried to disprove Christ. Watch out for people that try to disprove Christ, because if they think it through, they're going to come to faith. He wrote a really cool, easy book to read called More Than a Carpenter. Many people say that Jesus was a moral teacher. He was a good man. He says that's, you can't, anybody who says he's the Son of God is either a liar, he's a lunatic. Hey, if somebody says that they're the Son of God today in the city of Irvine, do you know what we do with them? They're under psychiatric evaluation. Oh, Jesus is just a good moral teacher. That is not an option. He's either a complete liar, a deceiver, a lunatic, or he's the Lord. That's your only options. The Apostle Paul thought he was a total liar, a deceiver. He's a madman. He had to rethink Jesus. Have you guys thought through Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Son of God? You need to spend time in the desert. You need to do a Rembrandt with Jesus. Have you done that in your life? Because you need to. Because your life depends on him. He's really important. So Paul is rethinking Jesus. And Jesus is teaching. He's giving him revelations for 3 years, right? At least, maybe his whole life. Later on, this is what Paul says who Jesus is in Colossians chapter 1. So this is amazing. So he's gone from liar, lunatic to this. Colossians 1, 15 through 20. The Son is the image of the invisible God, Jesus is the Son of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's preeminent. It's not sequence, it's preeminence. He's the firstborn. He's number one. For in him, in Jesus, all things were created. How many things was created through Jesus? All things were created. Things in heaven, things on earth. Visible and invisible, material and non-material. Jesus creates all things. Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things has been created through him and for him. What? He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Amen to that. Your life depends on him. He will hold you together, man. He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead. Does anyone plan on living after you die? He's the first of taking you through that, the resurrection of Christ, right? He's the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything he might have supremacy. That's our Jesus. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him. Meditate on that for the next 25 years. Jesus, as he walked, the fullness of deity dwelling in bodily form in Capernaum, in Jerusalem. God became flesh and dwelt among us. Paul is like seeing Jesus through totally different lenses. Jesus is he's helping him to rethink what he thought. And he's given him revelation, theology. Jesus is changing Paul's theology. For God was pleased to all have all his fullest dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to him all things, whether on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. People, that's a mouthful. That's called a revelation. For I pray that you would meditate on that, and you would understand who Jesus is. He's not a liar. He's not a lunatic. He's the Lord, and this is who he is. See, Paul had to rethink this. Have you really thought through Jesus? Do you know that sometimes it can be possible that Christians can be raised in church, and they think that Jesus, oh, it's always Jesus is the answer. You know, I grew up with Jesus. Do you know it's possible that you might know about Jesus but not know Jesus? Do you know it's possible that Christians born and raised in the church, they think they're familiar with Jesus, but all of a sudden, if you look at him, he becomes unfamiliar, and he becomes bigger than you thought? There's a beautiful book I also encourage you to read. A guy named Philip Yancey wrote a beautiful book called The Jesus I Never Knew. It's written to people that were born and raised in the church. You think you know him? You don't know him. He's bigger than you think he is. Oh, yeah, I've studied Jesus. Next. Nope. It's like I'm studying Jesus and blown away for eternity. They're singing about him in heaven right now. Paul, what was he doing for 3 years? Dude, he had to rethink what he thought about the scriptures. He had to rethink Jesus. Check this out. What else did he have to rethink? Write this down. Paul had to rethink salvation. Salvation. Paul believed that salvation was bound up with his obedience as a Pharisee to the laws of Moses. See, Paul could be assured a place in the kingdom of God because of his zeal for, as he puts it, I had zeal for the traditions of my fathers. So does the law of Moses save people? Does following the commandments work to be a good Jew? And salvation is yours. Paul had to rethink this. And notice what he says later in the book of Romans, chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. Paul would write years later, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be silenced. And the whole world be held accountable to God." Are you being held accountable to God? "Therefore, no one will be declared righteous in God's sight by the works of the law. But rather, through the law, we become conscious of sin." That is a radical rethinking of his understanding. People, the law doesn't save people. It makes people conscious of their sin. The Ten Commandments. Can you keep the Ten Commandments? Or are they just there to show us that we transgress? So here's a beautiful, C.S. Lewis, another great person who tried to disprove God, said this about, give me that one. No man knows how bad he is till he has tried very hard to be good. I'm never going to cuss again. Good luck on that. I am never going to think a bad thought or say anything bad about anybody again. Go for it. I am never going to be selfish ever again. Try it this week. Try it this week. Because you're going to fail. I am never going to cuss again, Pastor Frank. That guy just cut right in front of me. Colorful metaphors. You transgress. See, Paul thought that he was justified by the law. But then he came to realize he had to rethink his theology. The law isn't there to say I've had people come up to me and say, well, I just live the Ten Commandments. I'm like, no, you don't. That's impossible. Have you ever lied? Yes. And every time they say they never have, I call them a liar immediately, right? Thou shalt honor thy father and mother. Are you perfect at honoring your mom and dad? No. The law, did you just read that? The law condemns us. Now, C.S. Lewis says something even more profound. Check this out. Look at this next one. It is after you have realized that there is a real moral law and a power behind the law, God, and that you have broken that law and put yourself wrong with that power. It is after all this and not a moment sooner that Christianity begins to talk. Meditate on that. Think. Do you know that outside of Christ that God is against you? That you've transgressed him? That you offend him morally? It is after you have realized that there is a real moral law and a power behind the law, and that you have broken that law and put yourself wrong with that power. God is not at peace with you until Christ deals with you on the cross. It's until you get this. See, this is, so Paul went, Pastor Frank, wow, that's interesting. He took 3-year hiatus. Yep. What did he do? He had to rethink his life. He had to rethink what he thought. He had to rethink Jesus. He had to rethink the scriptures. He had to rethink salvation. Have you thought salvation? Have you thought this through? Brothers and sisters, you need to think this through. All of us need to think this through. Well, I'm a really good person, Pastor Frank. I'm sure you are. Compared to who? See, every religion is like, I'm a good person. I'm going to work my way up to God. The gospel, the good news is God in his love and mercy and grace has worked his way to you through Jesus. It's no other religion is like Jesus. It's by grace that you've been saved. Paul is working his way and being a really good Jew, and all the time he's following the law as he understands it. He finds himself actually fighting against God and fighting against the Messiah, and he's completely blown this thing, totally deserves God's wrath and judgment, but then by God's love, mercy, and grace just chooses to save him anyway. And Paul's going, I can't believe that this just happened to me. I am the worst of all sinners. For I persecuted the body of Christ, and yet God still saves me? He had to rethink salvation. Have you rethought salvation? People, you got to rethink this. It's so important. Check this out. So what did he have to rethink in the desert? Here's another one. You ready? He had to rethink the followers of Jesus. He had to rethink the church. Jesus says, why do you persecute me? So Paul is killing people. He's killing Jesus' people. And when Jesus meets him, he says, why are you persecuting me? He didn't say, why are you persecuting my people? Jesus says, why are you persecuting me? See, Jesus is so linked in with you That if someone messes with you, they're messing with him. That you are so one with Christ that when someone touches you, they're touching him. Paul had to look at, he had to rethink who Christians are and the incredible close union that we have between us and Jesus, that we as his church. He had to rethink this whole awesome connection that he later writes about in Colossians 3. Listen to this. He's writing to the church in Colossae. He says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, you're holy and you're dearly loved by who? God dearly loves you. Clothe yourselves with compassion." Doesn't the world need compassion? "Kindness and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. And if any of you has a grievance against someone," a grievance, "forgive as the Lord forgave you." Man, if just let it go, people. If people sin against you, let it go. "And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity." And here it is. "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful." We're all members of one body. We are called, we are a part of the body of Christ. We are united by Jesus, by the Holy Spirit. The church is the body of Christ. You mess, if someone messes with you, they're messing with God. "Well, Pastor Frank, I don't like the church. I don't go to church." You are the church. Rethink that. You are the church. You are the church. We are part of one in the body of Christ. We are one in Jesus. We are one people. We are in the family of the Messiah, brothers and sisters, with our Father in heaven, as Jesus says. You want to pray? Pray this way. Call him Father. Man, you have to think this through. There's only one church in the city of Irvine. Did you know that? We meet in different congregations, but there's one body of Christ of people who love the Lord and know the Lord. Man, I pray that you put stamps in your passport and go see the world and go visit the body of Christ all over the world. I've had the privilege of putting a stamp as I went to Romania in the early 80s, right after the Iron Curtain fell, and a group of us went for the summer, and we were in Romania proclaiming Jesus and meeting the underground church in Romania and hearing their stories, how they lived out their faith in Jesus as people, they were being persecuted and killed under Ceausescu. And it was so cool because they call me brother and I call them brother. You go to the Dominican Republic, I go down the DR and work at an orphanage in a leper colony, and everybody's calling each other brother. You go to Haiti and you build a freshwater well, and you meet the church and we're all brother and sister. We're all one. You go to the Philippines. You go to Malaysia. You find that they're Malaysian and I'm, but what in Christ, we're one. We're family. Paul had to rethink who the people of Jesus was. I was killing these people, and then he becomes one of them by the mercy and grace of God. Paul spent 3 years. He had to rethink all this. Who is what? I have to rethink the scriptures. I have to rethink Jesus. I need to rethink salvation. I need to rethink the people of God. Have you thought through this? You need to rethink the church and your responsibility within the body of Christ. We need to rethink this. Paul did. Here's another one. You ready? What did Paul have to rethink for 3 years in the desert? He had to rethink the Gentiles. Okay, so if Saul, or we can say his name Paul, he hated the Jewish believers in Jesus and hunted them down and killed them. Do you know who he also hated? Was Gentiles or non-Jews. Gentiles have no hope with God, or very little, unless they become a Jew themselves and become like me as a Jew, is what Paul was thinking. But then Paul gets saved by God. not by the law, but by the love and grace of God. By faith, God takes away Paul's sins, which are many. And now, the same opportunity to accept God that happened to him is for all people. See, so Paul thought that his ethnicity was superior. I am a chosen Jew. I'm a part of the chosen race. I'm a part of the chosen people. Is he? He is. But he had to rethink what that meant. Paul had to rethink how he viewed other people. Because he thought that he is a Jew is one thing and everyone else is just kindling for hell. And then God calls him to go preach the good news to people that are not like him. That's crazy. There is no one ethnicity that's better than another. There is no one culture that's better than another. There's no one race that's better than another. We're all one in Christ. Racism is when you think that that one race is superior than another. Paul was in this mindset to some degree. The Jewish people are the chosen people. Chosen for what? They're chosen because through these people come the Messiah. Read in Genesis. God says that through Abraham, one will come that will bless all the nations of the world. Paul forgot that part. Yes, they're the chosen race because through them, through their ethnicity, comes the Messiah. And through them comes Moses and the prophets and the scriptures. Through the Jewish people, God brings forth his revelation to the world. So yes, they are the chosen people. Not chosen that they're the only ones that are going to be saved. By the way, the Jewish people don't get a free pass on sin. Some people think that, oh, because they're Jewish, they don't need Jesus. That Jesus is only for the Gentiles. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All means all. That's all that all means. Right? It says in Acts chapter 4, before the first Gentile was even saved, that there's salvation in no one else. Only in the name of Jesus may mankind be saved. That's Jew and Gentile. A Jewish person needs the blood of Jesus just as much as a Gentile. Paul had to rethink this. He had to rethink this. He had to rethink how he views other human beings. And he says this years later in Romans chapter 10, verses 12 to 13. Listen to this. There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. Can you imagine a Pharisee saying this? There's no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is the Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on his name. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. When did he figure this out? He took a 3-year hiatus. Do you need to rethink how you view people and see people? Because Paul did. All the colors bleed into one. All a part of the body of Christ. No one's greater than anyone else. This is our Jesus. Here's this Rembrandt. I just want you to look at this again. Do you see him? He did a lot of this in his life. Paul, on the road to Damascus, he had to rethink what he thought was true. And just leave that picture up. I want you guys to think through this. See, what he thought he knew, he didn't know. He had to rethink the scriptures. He had to rethink Jesus. He had to rethink salvation. He had to rethink the church. He had to rethink the Gentiles and how he viewed people through the eyes of Messiah. How important is it for all of us to do this in our life? The billion-dollar question. Have you done this? Because all of us need to do this. So I took the college career group up to Big Bear this last weekend. And I got to show him where I grew up. You know, in my life, there was a time when I picked up as a non-believer the New Testament. I began reading the four Gospels of Jesus. I did this just trying to figure out God. So last week I took the group up the backside to Big Bear. We went through Forest Falls, which is it's a little bit longer, but it's more pretty. It's not as windy. And I drove past this corner where my friend Kyle Warren was killed back when I was in high school. I had a good friend named Kyle. And Kyle was at a party his senior year of high school, and somebody was drinking, and they had their daddy's Corvette, and he was taking people on speed runs, and Kyle got in the car. And the highway patrol said they were doing 100 plus when they went off the side of the mountain. And my friend Kyle, he had his seatbelt on, Jimmy didn't, and Kyle's head went out. I'll be gross with you. His head flew out and the pine tree decapitated him. And when the Corvette landed, he drained into the driver's seat. I went and saw the car. So I went up to Big Bear. That very night that Kyle died, I was out drinking and driving in my Corvette. And I remember looking at a car coming at me and seeing 8 headlights. I was in double vision. And then I'm up there, and I remember Mr. Enns comes up to me and says, "Hey, are you up here for the ceremony?" "And what ceremony?" He said, "Kyle died." I'm like, "What?" And they took the car and they stuck it. Back then, they would put it on display, and I went and looked in it, and there was this dried blood of my friend. And I began thinking about God. I began doing a lot of this in my early 20s as an atheist, trying to rethink all this. And I began reading Jesus and asked a lot of questions. You know, last week I drove by that place and I looked over into the field where my friend died as I took them up to Big Bear, right? And we had a great time up in the mountains. I spent a lot of time doing this. As a young believer, I went and studied in the land of Israel doing a lot of this. Going on camps and retreats. Man, when I was a student at Biola University, 30 units of Bible in my undergrad, just doing a lot of this. And then in Talbot, sitting at the feet of people as I'm trying to become a professor, doing a lot of this. Have you ever done this? Because you need to. You need to figure out the scriptures. It's a book written by men. Well, okay, it's men moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. The prophecies are amazing. Explain it to me. You need to do this with the Word of God, which is a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of Christ. You need to rethink the Scriptures. You all need to rethink Jesus. And even if you think you know Him and you've been born and raised in the church, you know Him about 40%. There's a whole 60% that he'd love to reveal to you who he is if you just take the time. Rethinking. You think you're familiar with him? There's so much about him that would just make you so unfamiliar if you just hang out. If you do this with him, he will reveal himself to you. You need to rethink Jesus. You need to rethink your salvation. If you think that you're getting to heaven because you're a good person, you better rethink this, because there's no good. We're all guilty before a holy God, and we're all in need of the blood of Messiah. If you don't think that, you need to rethink it. You need to rethink Jesus. And you need to rethink the church, because you are the church, and you belong to the church, and we are all family, and we all need each other. This is what the church is. You need to rethink this, because this is the body of Christ. And if you think that you're superior to any other ethnicity or culture or race, you better go do this with Jesus, because he'll set you straight. This is what Paul did for 3 years. Here's your last note. Write this down. Knowing the truth plus living the truth equals a transformed life. You need to spend time knowing the truth, and you need to spend time living the truth. And if you do that, you will have transformation of your life. You need to spend time alone with God, and you need to think through truth. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. Jesus says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you
free.
Anybody looking for freedom, spiritual freedom, freedom of your soul? You need to rethink all this. We all need to do this in our life. People, I need to do a Rembrandt every morning. Every morning I need to sit down and rethink, Jesus, good morning. And I need to spend time doing a Rembrandt, going, all right, Lord, it's a new day you've given me to live. My heart's still beating. Oh, yep. I'm still breathing. I have life today. Okay, Lord. And you're with me. Wow, okay, Lord. Your love's upon me. Wow, okay, Lord. The blood of Christ has washed me clean. Amen, Lord. Your spirit dwells within me. You've not given me a spirit of fear, but of power and love and sound thinking. Amen, Lord. And I'm rethinking, getting ready for the day. All of you need to spend time with the Lord. Paul needed to take a serious time out in his life and rethink all this. I promise you, this was not, he only didn't do this one time. He did this many times. All of you need to take a time out with Jesus and rethink all this. Your life depends on it. And you just don't do it once. You do it all the time, every day. You need to spend time. You know what we did up in the mountains? College Career Group went up into Big Bear. And we got away from all our problems down Orange County. I said, you can't take them up with you. They're down there. And we're going to spend time with the Lord up here this weekend. And we just hung out with the Lord and had the most beautiful time together. And then you got to go back down the mountain and live life. But at least you met with Jesus. Right? Just been transformed by Jesus. We need to make Jesus the center of our life, people. So welcome to the life of the Apostle Paul. It's good that you know him because he's a beautiful example for you and for me. If you look real close, you'll notice that there's a three-year where he just disappears from everything. And so many people are like, well, what did he do? He did a lot of thinking. All of us need to do a lot of thinking. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for this morning. We thank you for this day. Lord, I know you're speaking in the heart of your people. Lord, I pray, Jesus, that you would help all of us to just take a hard look at Jesus, that we would learn to center our life on Jesus. Lord God, help us, Lord, just to not waste this life that you've given us to live, but we would be really thought-provoking as we journey through life, that we just wouldn't float around like a boat floating in the ocean with no direction. Lord, teach us how to put up a sail to figure out what life's all about. Jesus, help us to rethink all this stuff. Teach us through the life of the Apostle Paul. I pray this for your glory. I pray this in the name of Jesus, and all those who love Jesus would say,